think it's official. Summer is here. And man, it's going to be a great one for us here at the Orchard Community. Listen, this weekend, as most of you know, we are starting a brand new series called the Orchard Summer Film Festival. And listen, I don't know about you. I mean, but the fact is everybody, I think, loves a great film, loves great movies. You know, I mean, think about for a second the whole movie theater experience. You know, walking into the movie theater and, of course, stopping by to pick up a little bit of popcorn, because popcorn's fantastic at a movie theater, right? And walk by over to the extra butter machine and just push it. Or if you're like me, you push it and then you shake it and then you push it again and then you shake it and you put some salt and then you push the butter again, right? And you end up with so much butter and salt that by the end of the movie, your hands are covered in butter, and I'm getting hungry right now, and salt. And then you wipe them on your jeans, and then you go home after the movie and the dog runs up to you and licks your jeans for like an hour. Yeah, anyway, but you know, the whole movie theater experience, man. I mean, watching the movie on the big screen, the sound, even the previews, it's a great experience. People love it, don't they? Well, you know what? I think, though, that all that's great, but I think there's probably a much deeper reason why people connect so well with great films and great movies. And I think it has a ton to do with the fact that it is in those movies, it's in those films that we so often find ourselves. You know, we find ourselves, we find our stories, we find our joys, we find our pain, we find our hope, our redemption, we find so much of life's experiences that we can relate to. Well, listen, over these next several weeks, we're going to explore some great films, and we're going to hear some great stories, and we're going together as a community, we're going to look for those deep connections that we find, those connections between God, between ourselves, and connections with the rest of the world. It's going to be a great series. And this weekend, we have a great friend, Orchard friend, someone you're very familiar with, one of our teachers here at the Orchard, Adam Mock, who is with us to kick off the series. And so sit back, get ready, open your heart. And Orchard, let's welcome right now Mr. Adam Mock. Come on.
Good morning. How are you guys? You guys are a lively bunch at 9. I like that. It's nice. Must be the weather. I'm totally stoked about this Orchard Summer Film Festival. We all love movies. I'm a huge movie buff. I love summer blockbusters. I'm a big sucker for them. You know, this time of year in particular, around the summer, for the past 3 years, I've loved it because it's usually around this time that a handful of people will come up to me and tell me I look like Iron Man. And they start calling me Tony Stark, which is better than calling me Shrek, because that would hurt me. It would hurt me emotionally. I don't want that. But hey, we're in the Summer Film Fest. Can't wait to kick it off today. You know what's cool? If you go to Disney movies, you know what they do? They show you a short film before the feature film. Parents know that. It's awesome. You get like two for the price of one with that. A lot of films obviously don't do that, but Disney does do that. And last year, my family and I saw a really cool film called Wreck-It Ralph. How many of you guys saw Wreck-It Ralph? Awesome. You guys are part of the blessed group. Wreck-It Ralph is amazing. As a child of the 80s and as a big video gamer, I loved it because there's all these great nods to classic video games, and it's a beautiful movie, so I suggest you check it out. But before Wreck-It Ralph, they showed an awesome short film called Paper Man. It's a black and white animated short. It actually won an Oscar, I believe, for Best Animated Short. And what's cool about Paper Man is it has absolutely no language in it. And there's not even any type of written language in it that you could tell where maybe this is. So it's kind of neat because it shows you how much of our communication is simply built on our expression and what we see in our gestures. When I first saw Paper Man, from the time the title came up, I looked at my wife, Sarah, and I said, I love this. I loved it already. And when it was over, I wanted to share Paper Man with as many people as I possibly could. It was one of those quick short films that just resonated with me on a number of levels. And so what I'm going to do is I want to kick off our summer film festival with a short film. And it's a film that we can actually all watch together because it's only like 6 minutes long. And then we're going to dissect it. So I am really excited to share Paper Man with you guys. Check this out.
Thank you.
Wasn't that a cool short? Love that film. I love it. It actually reminds me of the tenacity it took for me to get my wife, Sarah. I didn't throw airplanes at her. I didn't throw anything at her. But long story short, my wife and I actually hated each other when we first met. And when we reconnected and started liking each other, what I thought was very clear. And I had to tell her 3 times that I liked her. I'd be like, hey, you know I like you, right? And she would go, yeah, I know. And nothing would change. Because when I said, hey, you know I like you, right? She thought I meant as a friend. Because we all know, if you say you like someone, that means you're friends. But if you say you like someone, that means more than as a friend. You can imagine how discouraging it was to unintentionally get put in the friend zone by your future wife. But, you know, we had a happy ending. We've been married 15 years, 2 beautiful kids. And as we've grown in our relationship and matured, we like to work on our own personal growth, just something that we feel very important about emotionally, spiritually, physically. Part of my personal growth right now has actually been going for my certification as a leadership coach. For those who don't know what coaching is about, it's incredibly fascinating. Coaching is based on the principle that you have everything in you to move forward in life, that you are actually complete, that you're not lacking anything, and with the right tools and with the right environment and with somebody objective in your life to help draw those things out, you can succeed and move forward and actually reach your goals. And so coaching has been very important for me. I have a coach. I've been coaching people. It's been enjoyable. It's different than counseling, which deals with your past, and it's different than consulting, which is an expert coming in telling you how to do stuff. And what's been cool about coaching is I've been learning some very powerful tools that come with coaching people, powerful questions. And Scott talked about asking the right type of questions back in our Repurpose series. But today, I want to touch on 3 very specific questions that we actually see played out in Paper Man. 3 very specific questions that can help all of us stop spinning our wheels, stop being stuck in the mud, stop feeling so stagnant in life, and allow us to actually move forward and strive for things that we want to strive for. And it's important, and I'm going to stress the fact that these are specific questions because it's important that we ask specific questions. Because you see, specific questions lead to specific answers, and specific answers lead to specific actions. If you have general questions, you have general answers, and you have no action, which sounds dirty and lonely when I say that out loud in church. So we want specific questions, okay? So that's what we're going to get into today. I want you guys to write these down, take pictures of it, ask these questions of yourself, ask them of people you love and care about, and sit back and listen to what the answer is. You're going to be shocked at how simple these questions are, but how difficult they are to actually answer. So the first question that I want to share with you is really interesting, easy to ask, incredibly difficult to answer. And usually the first answer to this question is not even the real answer. And the question is this: what do you want? What do you want? The question isn't, what do your parents want for you? What does your spouse want for you? What do your friends want for you? The question is, what do you want? And you'd be amazed at how many people go through life and never are asked this question, or even ask this question of themselves. We are really, really good at knowing what other people want of us. I've done so many things in my life because it's something my mom wanted for me. And I'm really good at wanting to please people, so I do stuff that my friends want for me. When I was asked this question, what do you want? I had no idea what the answer was. And most people don't, because like I said, the real answer is buried under everyone else's answer for you. We're good at convincing ourselves that what we want is wrong, or we're not deserving of it, or somebody else should go first. And so very rarely do we actually know what we want. So when I've coached people, they say some very general things when I ask them this. I say, what do you want? And they say, I want to be happy. Okay, well, how will you know when you have that? Because all of us in here have laughed and smiled and had a good time. Does that mean you've achieved your goal? Are you happy? Or they'll say, I want to be healthy. Well, what is it you really want? Are you wanting to lose some weight? Are you wanting arthritic pain to go away? Are you wanting to hear better? Are you wanting to eat better? When you say you want to be healthy, what do you want? I've had someone say, I want freedom. Well, freedom from what? From your marriage? Freedom in your job? Freedom from people judging you, being able to express yourself the way you want to express yourself? Those are very general answers. When I answered it, I said, I want to be enlightened. And my coach goes, well, that's pretty broad. How will you know when you have it? I said, well, I'll be enlightened. So what's funny is I didn't really want to be enlightened. What I wanted was I wanted some clarity of direction in terms of where I was headed. So ask yourself what you want. And usually the first answer is not the answer. What's interesting is in Paper Man, we see his want very clearly. He knows exactly what he wants. It's not vague. He doesn't want to be in love. He doesn't want to meet somebody. What he wants is that girl that he met at the train station. Very specifically, that girl, the lipstick girl, the girl that he can't stop thinking about since he met her. That's what he wants. It's very, very clear. It gives him specific direction. All of us can relate to that moment when he's looking at that lipstick piece of paper and he's back at work, and the wind starts to blow, and he catches the paper, and he looks out, and there she is. He can't believe it. She's across the way. That moment has happened again. She's within reach almost. We can all relate to that moment, not necessarily when we've met somebody like that. It can be anything. All of us have read something, experienced something, met somebody, tasted something that just brought us to life, that made us deep down in our soul go, oh man, where has this been all my life? I love this. This is what I want. I want more of whatever this is. And very quickly we start to convince ourselves of why we're not deserving of it or why we can't have it or why somebody else should have it before us. The ultimate coach that we have as an example in our lives is Jesus, and he actually asks this very question. I want to show it to you. It's in the book of John, chapter 1, and it says this. It says, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples, and when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? Some translations say, what do you seek? He's being so clear. Whenever Jesus asks a question in the Bible, you need to pause. When you're reading your Bible and you have all the red letter stuff that shows where Jesus is talking, pause every time he asks a question. And watch how intentional he is about this. Whenever he asks a question, he wants people to own something. He wants them to confess something. In this question, he wants them to own their ambition. He wants to know, what do you want? Benjamin Franklin said, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. That means if you don't know what you want, you are doing what other people want. If someone tells you, hey, do this, it's a good idea, and you do it, but you don't believe it, you have the same opinion. Jesus wants people to confess things and own it, and that's what he wants here. He asks them a very simple question as they follow him. What do you want? Watch how hard it is for these guys to answer him. It continues. They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? They can't even answer the question. They answer the question with a question. They know what they want, but what they don't say is, you're the Messiah. You're the Lamb of God. John just said so. We want to follow you. We want to be around you. We want to learn from you. Teach us. That's what we want. They're too scared to admit what they want. Teacher, where are you staying? Where are you staying? Knowing this, you can almost imagine Jesus smiling to himself as he knows how hard it is for them to answer this question. As it continues, it says this, come, he replied, come, you'll see. It's like Jesus is saying, okay, I'm not going to tell you what you want, but I will show you what you want. Let me show you what you are too scared to admit. Which begs the question, what are you too scared to admit that you want? And I think that there are many of us here, if we were being honest with ourselves, are very scared to confess and admit what we want because we're worried about how it will affect somebody else in our life. Because it's not what they would want for us. That's the first question. What do you want? A specific question. It deserves a specific answer. And once you have that answer, you move on to a second question. Again, very specific and very scary. And it's this. What prevents you from having it already? Because answering the question, what do you want, when you identify your want, it implies that you don't have it. So why don't you have it? What obstacle is standing in your way? What prevents you from having what you want already? This question will force you to admit and reflect on some things that could get very ugly and very tough and very painful. There's a lot of things that you have to look at, but if you want it and you really want it, you'll answer this question, you'll go for it. Paper Man, when he answers this question, what prevents him from having that girl? He doesn't even know her name. He doesn't have her number, does not know where she lives, has no way to get in touch with her. When he glances her across the way at that other building, he still has obstacles in his way. He has a job. He doesn't want to get fired from his job. He looks out at the window and just like is waving like, whoa, look at me. I'm here, but I can't yell because I don't want my boss to find out. His boss is another obstacle. That guy is riding him hard. He doesn't want to get fired. He doesn't want to let his boss down on this. And he has a literal gap between him and where she is. He's got the entire busy street between the two buildings that they occupy. He has some obstacles that prevents him from having what he wants. As you start to answer this question, based on what your want is, you're going to realize some obstacles. There will absolutely be obstacles. Your obstacles may be financial. You might not have what you want because you don't have the financial means to get what you want. Which then leads to another series of questions. Well, why don't you have the financial means to get what you want? It might be location. You don't have what you want because you're not anywhere near the proximity of what you want. It could be educational. You don't have what you want because you don't know enough about what you want, or you don't know how to get it. It might even be relational. You don't have what you want because what you want or who you want won't speak to you anymore. Or they don't know you exist. Or they have a different view of you than who you really are. The scariest answer to this question is when you find out that the obstacle, what's preventing you from having what you want, is you. When you're the problem and you're standing in your own way. This is something I can relate to big time. Big time. And I'm not proud to share this, but I'm going to. When I was in my late teens, early 20s, what I wanted was I wanted to be a comic book artist. I love comic books. I have a huge collection of them at home. I love going to comic conventions. I was a pretty good illustrator. So I started hitting up Marvel and DC Comics and Dark Horse and Image and all of these great brands that I loved for a job drawing comics. When I tell you I wanted to be a comic book artist, what I really mean is I wanted people to ask me for my autograph. That's what I wanted. I wanted people to stand in line for Adam Mock, wait, ask me for my autograph, maybe even ask to have a picture taken with me. I lost sight of the fact that I loved to draw ever since I was a kid, and it became more about my pride and my ego. And not surprisingly, I couldn't get work drawing anything. And as I look back, now that I'm 40, I look back, I would not have hired me either. Because I don't want somebody working for me who's doing this just for themselves. I want someone who's doing this for the project, for the team, moving the company forward, moving the vision forward. That wasn't me. I was moving myself forward. When I realized that, and I got out of my own way, and I started doing it for the right reasons, I can humbly say to the glory of God, all kinds of opportunities opened up for me. My artwork has been in comic books. It's been on t-shirts, on bumper stickers, on coloring books, on tattoos, on greeting cards, on more book covers than I can count, on magazine covers. And yes, I've even been to conventions as the guest, and I've had people wait in line and ask me for my autograph and have a picture taken with me. It was a byproduct after I got out of the way of myself. What prevented me from having it was me. What may be preventing you from having it is you. The self-talk, the self-defeatist attitude, things like that. You might need to get out of the way of yourself. So here's the thing. Without knowing what keeps you from something, how can you ever have it? You won't. If you're going to ask yourselves these questions, you will be confounded and spin your wheels for the rest of your life and never have what you want. Because without knowing what keeps you from it, how can you ever have it? You won't be able to. And here's the encouraging thing about this. When you ask these questions and you're identifying the answers to these questions, take encouragement in the fact that God wants to remove these obstacles from your life. He absolutely does. The Bible is very clear about how God knows the desires of our heart, and if we delight in him, he wants to give us the desires of our heart. How he's a father who knows how to give good gifts. And I think what we do is when we want something, sometimes, like, you know, as Christians and Christ followers, we might tell ourselves, well, I sin too much, so therefore I'm not deserving of these things. God views me as less than, so why would he give me these things? You delight yourself in God and he comes first, everything else falls in line. Here's what he says in Isaiah to show you how much he wants to remove obstacles from you. This is in Isaiah chapter 1. And it will be said, build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. That's what God wants. God wants nothing to stand in the way of his people. On the contrary, he wants to build a road up for you to be able to move forward on. And he delights in that. He's all about that. He's all about seeing you fulfilled. When we were in the planning meeting for this, and we were talking about this question, a really interesting question got brought up. And it was, well, what if there's an obstacle that you cannot move? What if there's something that you can't overcome? And at the risk of sounding callous or uncaring or not being able to understand, I just don't believe that to be true. I don't. And if I think, if we're all being honest and really reflect on how many stories we've heard about people who have had less than us, they've had less money, they've had less physical means, they've had less education, and yet have done more than most of us have ever done in our lives, what is our excuse? You can go onto YouTube and just Google perseverance, Google overcoming, Google stories about people that are missing limbs that go on to do things with their life, people who have struggled financially and have done things with their life. I'm friends with Booker T, the WWE guy, and this is a guy who, when he was young, robbed Wendy's and ended up in prison. And had a son without being married that he wasn't being a father to. And he turned his entire life around when he got out of prison. He did his time. He paid it back. He took care of his son. And now he's giving back. I just don't believe that there is an obstacle that if we can't go through it, maybe we can go over it. And if we can't go over it, maybe we can go around it. And if we can't go around it, maybe we can go under it. And if we can't do it alone, maybe we need to bring somebody with us. But we will get beyond that obstacle. We will. Funny thing is, your obstacle, your greatest obstacle, may turn into your greatest strength or greatest opportunity, believe it or not. Your greatest obstacle, for example, might be alcoholism. You don't know that when you overcome that, that obstacle, alcoholism, is going to help somebody else get over alcoholism. It might be your greatest strength. So now we're going to get to the third and final question. You now know what you want. You're identifying what prevents you from having it already. Now that you know those things, you have a final question to ask, and it's this. What are some strong first steps you can take? Intentionally, this doesn't say what are some baby steps you can take. Sometimes we just need to challenge ourselves. These are strong first steps. These are big strides. These are things that make us uncomfortable. These are things that test our limits, that allow us to press on and show us that we're stronger than we realize. Paper Man steps are awesome. Paper Man steps are so clear when we watch it. This guy can't call her, but he can make a paper airplane. And that's what he does. And he throws it, and that's one step, and it misses. And he makes another one, and he throws it, and that's another step. And another step, and another step, and another step, because he is not giving up on what he wants. He starts making these planes, and he starts trying to pursue this desire. For your steps, depending on what your want is, it might mean changing the way you eat. It might mean joining a group of people who are like you. It might mean going back to school or picking up a book, making a phone call to somebody, writing a letter if you're too scared to make that phone call. For some of you, your step might not even seem like a step. It might feel like a step back. It might mean taking a break. It might mean getting away from work, getting unplugged from the internet and Facebook, not checking your email for a while, allowing yourself to rest and gain some perspective and get some clarity and to regain some strength. As you take these types of steps, you might feel like you're not moving forward at all, that every step is confounded, that every plane that you throw just misses its mark, and it's incredibly discouraging. But I would tell you to press on, to not give up. Paper Man presses on. When he's done with the airplanes, his boss comes, drops a huge stack of papers, boom, right down on his desk again. This is a guy in a black and white world, a very static world, a very monotonous world. He has a choice in that moment, a crossroads. He can get back to work and forget about this girl and forget about this dream he has, or he can do something about it. And as his boss starts to walk away, what does Paper Man do? He takes off. As the viewer, for us, it looks like he's quit his job. It's done. He's severed ties with it. This desire is bigger than his current situation. He rushes out of his job. He loses it. He gets through the hustle and bustle of traffic, navigates all that, gets out just to find that last paper airplane sitting on a mailbox, and the girl is nowhere to be found. He has no job. He has no girl. He has no hope of finding her. And for all intents and purposes, it looks like he has failed. In frustration, he takes that plane and he chucks it. He's frustrated. He is spent. He has nothing left to give towards this. And I wonder how many of us have been there before? And how many of us are there right now? That thing, that first thing that popped into your mind that you're too scared to admit has exhausted you. Because you've been pursuing it for so long. Listen, failure can actually be a really powerful motivator. And a beautiful thing. Truman Capote says this, failure is the condiment that gives success its flavor. Anyone who has had any bit of success in here understands this. They understand they are stronger, that they are wiser, that they are more mature for the failures and setbacks that they've experienced before they got their success. Or maybe they're even humbler now that they're successful simply because of the failures that they've had. Failures are not always a dead end. They're not. They just challenge you to find a different way, to get more creative, to use your ingenuity. God doesn't want you to give up. He absolutely does not want you to give up. Here's what it says in Matthew. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. He wants you to persist. He absolutely wants you to persist. Some of you are sitting there going, Adam, I have asked and it was not given to me. I have knocked and no one answered the door. I sought and found nothing. Well, ask again and knock again and keep seeking. Yeah, but Adam, I have done this 10 times now. Nothing. Do it 10 more times. And after that, do it 10 more times. And 10 more times. Because at some point, trust me on this, life will look at you and say, I give up. I relent. This person is so tenacious and persistent. I give up. I can't take it anymore. I will let them have their way. I can't keep up with them. Because if God is for us, who could be against us? Nobody. Nothing. Nothing. In Luke, it says this. It says, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside, he answers and says, don't bother me. The door's already been shut and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he won't give up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Listen, parents, you should be amening this because we know this to be true. Kids do this. Can I have some ice cream? No. Can I have some ice cream? No. Can I have some ice cream? No. Can I have some ice cream? For the last time, no. Can I have some ice cream? Yes. Yes, you can have ice cream. Stop asking me. Kids are awesome at not giving up. Awesome. They don't hear no. They hear not now. They hear ask me again. We should learn from that. It should be like that for us. We should have the spirit of a child that says, it's just not happening now. It doesn't mean it's not going to. It will happen. I will have this. God is the ultimate picture of persistence for us, isn't he? If it's not children showing us how to be, it's God for sure. Our God is a God who, no matter how many times we try to cover him up, or put him on the shelf, or lock him behind the door so we can go about our business and pretend like he's not there, he continues to walk towards us like this, saying, bring it in. I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. And nothing you do, nothing you say, no matter who you hang out with, is going to separate me from you. I will persist in having you. That's God. That's in our DNA. In Paper Man, the really cool thing is in the end, we see something bigger than him take over. So it looks like he has failed. In reality, what we see is the culmination of all of his steps pay off. The culmination of every plane that he's thrown comes together and presses him on towards his goal. It won't let him give up. It wasn't for nothing. All that sacrifice, all of that effort wasn't wasted. The culmination of his steps press him on through the adversity of traffic, through his defeatist attitude when he's sitting there on the train and the kid with the balloons next to him, through that hustle and bustle of every day till he arrives at a place of success. He is reunited with that girl. He has gotten what he's wanted. It's an awesome lesson that we have, an awesome lesson. I'm going to share a statistic that was given to me a couple months ago that blew my mind. It's this: 96% of the time, change is forced on us. Think about that. Almost 100% of your lives is spent reacting to the tidal waves of life. 96% of the time, change is forced on us. That's ridiculous. Imagine if we knew what we wanted and we went for it. If we chose change, imagine what we could do. Truly, we can move mountains then. If only every single person in this room at the 9 a.m. service knew what they wanted, knew what was standing in their way, and took some strong steps towards it, we would choose change. What would be the ripple effect of that in our lives? I don't know about you guys. I don't want to react 96% of the time to things that are happening in my life. No wonder we feel so hollow and frustrated. And we feel like there is something more out there, like Paper Man did, that we want a little color in our lives. But it's just out of our reach. We can't quite figure out how to get it or what it is. Where you go, what you do, what you become is absolutely more in your control than you realize. 100%. We give our power away too many times to too many people. 96% of the time, we're allowing other people to dictate how we should live and how we should be. No wonder depression is on the rise. Here's the truth. We live in the greatest time in history. Do you guys believe that? We absolutely live in the greatest time in history. Here's why. We have more information, more knowledge, more opportunities at our fingertips than any other time in the history of the world. Right now, without even leaving here, if you wanted to learn about the pyramids, you could pull it up on your phone and read all you want on your phone about the pyramids. And if you were intrigued enough about them, right here on your phone, you could book plane tickets to go to Egypt and visit the pyramids. And you'd get the best deal sitting right here because you'd have 100 sites that tell you who's got the best plane fares. And if your friends can't go with you, you can take pictures while you're in Egypt and put it on social media while you're still in Egypt and tag your friends and they can be part of it. If you don't have the money to go to school, you can pull up all kinds of information on the internet and get educated yourself. You can buy books for a penny, if not free now, and download it on your iPad or on your phone and not even have to carry a backpack full of books with you. If you want to learn about what's wrong with your health, you can go on to WebMD and self-diagnose yourself. You can find the best doctors available. If you're alone and have no friends, you can find